On this episode of Life Below Zero, Alaskans battle winter's icy grip.
Water!
Sue braves the open tundra to expand her arsenal.
I'm not used to driving.
Glenn digs deep for survival.
I can feel it in my feet. It vibrates.
Chip scrambles to beat the freeze.
This is subsistence heating.
And a novice fights for a foothold in the wild.
Snowshoes aren't exactly modern technology.
I have a little journey I'm gonna go on. So I want my bullets, my tiny medical kit, my mobility and ability to get to other locations. I'd like to widen my sphere with that. So I ordered up and had specifically made an Argo. It's an eight-wheeled all-terrain vehicle with tracks so that I can have a mode of transportation. Bob's gonna be coming in about an hour, picking me up and Ermi. I don't feel comfortable leaving her for an undetermined amount of days on her own out here.
In order to retrieve the ATV, Sue will have to face the things she spent years avoiding. Civilization.
When I go to town, I am bombarded by jets going over, people having conversations everywhere. It's just way too much info. Living like this is not something you do on a whim. I live alone. I'm very comfortable being alone. I've always craved extreme isolation. I register that I live alone, but that does not mean and does not go hand in hand with being lonely. When I go away, I'm preoccupied with making it bulletproof as I can from the elements and from possible people coming in. The windows, the doors, are they shut? That one's shut. Those windows are secure. That door is shut. Go check the other side. Looks good on this side. You know, in a really strong wind, these trailers will be buckling and, you know, twisting, and it will pop the door. I have no control over the weather. It blows like a son of a bitch out here, and the snow drifts build. The winds that I get out here can be upwards of 100 miles an hour. Let that go a few days, and your camp is done. I mean, I could lock every door in the place, but a lock only keeps out an honest man. Bush law states you always leave the door open, you always leave some food and fuel and a note. And that's just the way it is. This is Sue. There is food and fuel available. Please leave me a note if you do use anything. Remember, this is my home. Treat it with respect. Thank you, Susan.
It's a good life, but it can be a hard life. It's one of these lives living out here that if you screw up, nobody pays the piper except for you. When you go to set these, that's called the dog. That goes back, push down. You always leave that one up.
Okay.
Pinch it with your fingers. That goes over top of it. And then you use your finger from underneath to hold the pan there.
When I moved out here, I didn't know about anything. I really had no trapping skills, but it became very obvious I needed to find a way to make a living, and was fairly successful at marten trapping.
Marten furs are coveted by trappers, typically fetching close to $150 per pelt.
Cody's got to make a living, and that means going out trapping.
Cody Allen recently moved up from the lower 48 in order to learn the subsistence lifestyle from Kate and Andy.
These are fairly powerful. They'll hurt your finger. They're not going to break your finger if you get caught, but it's going to hurt like hell if you do it. We're going to basically wire these up. We're going to boil some water outside, get this oil off of them, and then we'll be set with that. First thing I think I'd like you to do is just take a pair of wire cutters. I've got this baling wire here. Okay. You're going to take this. put a couple bends in it. What that's going to do is when we make the set, this is going to go around a pole or around a branch, right, and tie it off. This second thing I want you to do is you take the wire, you go through here so that it's basically like that, right? Bring that one around. And this one you want to tie fairly tight onto there. So just grab it, twist it, and so it's fairly tight.
Yeah.
Probably the first year or two, that's going to be your only way of making any money. As much as you don't need money out here, you still need money out here. You're going to have to buy ammo. You're going to have to buy some food.
Trapping is kind of an issue down in the lower 48. You know, there's a lot of people who don't like fur, people who do like fur. And I've never actually seen what it takes to get fur.
Never reach inside of there, because if it snaps shut, it's going to hurt. Your trap's sitting there. It's on the pole. The animal runs up the pole, trying to get to the bait that's hanging. Steps 1 foot, sometimes 2 foot into that, gets caught, jumps off the pole, and then he's hanging off the pole. Okay?
All right.
So we're going to boil these to get all the oil and everything off of them, and then take them out and hang them up and let them cool tonight, okay?
Okay.
That'll work. We gotta get these things boiled up and get the oil off of these things. When they make them at the factory, they put a lot of oil on them to keep them from rusting. I want that oil off because the animals can smell that. I also like the traps to take on a little bit of a slight rusty color. We'll let those dry up overnight, and then tomorrow we'll put them in a box with some spruce boughs and stuff. All right, those look good. Let's get those hung up. We'll get all of our gear together tomorrow and do some hiking up in the mountains, and hopefully we'll get a little bit of fur for you.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
If we're not having fun, we just don't do it. We'll just walk away. We'll quit. And the fun's gone. There's no point in it. This is the Arctic, and right now it's about 0 degrees, and I'm gonna go get me some firewood so I can quit burning some stove oil. I prefer to use the stove oil to heat just my water up and maybe let me sleep at 4 in the morning so I don't have to stoke a dying fire, but I can't really afford the stove oil.
In Norvik, heating oil is just over $6 a gallon. Every dollar Chip saves on fuel is money that he can spend on his large family's needs.
If my sled's not up to snuff, I can't use it. This is a cargo sled. This is something I would put wood, gasoline. If I have a tarp with it, I put some meat. But this is an all-around utility sled. It was on rocks quite a bit, and the rocks have taken off the heads of my screws that are holding down my runners. This last one gave out, so I gotta kind of be on top of all that. It's the best that one's gonna go. People can't ride on it, it'll beat them to death. You need a basket sled for that. This right here is pretty important to me because this does a lot of work. This is my pickup truck bed. It's seized. It might be shattered piston, I don't know. I'm gonna take it apart and fix it, I guess. I still gotta go get wood. Would you do me a favor? Take this in the house so it thaws out and I can clean it up, and I'll take it apart tonight and put it on the workbench, okay? Thank you, babe. Tell your mom if I don't come back till well after dark, it's only because the chainsaw is messed up, okay? Thanks, bud. That changes my day. It's gonna slow me down quite a bit.
With the chainsaw out of commission, Chip must chop wood by hand.
It does suck big time. It's a $350 chainsaw, but I could sit here and pitch a bitch, or I could just get to working with what I'm going to do, and I just prefer to get the day over. I don't want to be mad anyway. I'll find out later what happened, and then I'll decide whether I should be mad or not. If I can manage it, I'll knock off enough wood to sell to buy me another chainsaw. These aren't very big here. Burn fast. We have 8 months winters. It's the Arctic. It's cold.
So this is a constant chore.
I think it's a good idea to live in the moment. You don't want to miss the moment thinking about the future or the past too often, do you?
Ago, Glenn Villeneuve left his remote camp to spend time with his children in town. Now that he's back living his chosen isolated existence, he must load up on his most vital resource.
Since I got back to camp, I've been melting snow for water, and it's fine for getting water to drink, but it takes a lot of work to get enough water to do dishes, to do laundry, take a bath. When I take a bath, I use 5 gallons of water. I'd have to melt probably 15 gallons of snow to get 5 gallons of water. I'd be here for hours. So today I'm gonna go out and chisel a hole through the ice, get water out of the lake. Once I have a hole in, I can take out 20, 30 gallons of water at one time, and then I can take a bath, I can do my laundry, I can do my dishes, and I've got plenty of water for anything I want. Even though it's 34 below zero, I gotta take clothes off because I'll just get overheated and I'll start perspiring and my clothes will get damp, and then later when I stop working, I'll get cold. I make a square here about 3 paces each side, because if I leave this snow on the ice and I just make a little tiny hole through the snow where I drill my ice hole, this snow will get all packed down around it. It'll be a big mess. The snow turns to ice after it gets water dripping on it. I plan to keep this hole right here until spring. That's good. Got the ice all exposed. I'm gonna put a hole right in the middle of it, and I am gonna put on a face mask. I just need to protect my skin from freezing. It's 34 below zero, and I can just feel my ears and my nose getting a little cold. I like to put in a pretty big hole. It's easier for me to keep it open. It's easier for me to get water out of it. I don't know how long this is gonna take. I don't really care. I have all the time to do it that it's gonna take. I just don't like to look at a watch out here or think about hours and minutes. I just keep track of the sun.
I think about time very differently out here than people think about it down in civilization, you know. I don't think about how many hours I'm gonna spend cutting wood. The sun just goes around in a circle in the summer. The moon goes around in a circle in the winter. Those are the timekeepers out here.
I think it's probably at least 3 feet thick. I can feel it in my feet that when I strike the ice now, it vibrates. I'm getting close. Water! I don't know how thick the ice is, but I think it's probably at least 3 feet thick. I can feel it in my feet that when I strike the ice now, it vibrates. I'm getting close. Water! Yeah. Nice.
Hit water.
As soon as I hit water, the hole filled up, but I still have to make it the same diameter all the way to the bottom. I need to get all the ice out at the bottom so it doesn't refreeze too quickly. Look at this, ripping the leather off my glove when it, I just splashed it and I froze my glove. 34 below zero. Once I get the hole the same diameter all the way down through, then I don't have to worry about it refreezing so fast. I'll be able to leave it open the rest of the day. That's the stuff down at the bottom I'm chiseling out right now. I can feel it. Now I'm gonna take a slush scoop and just clean that ice out. I do have to be careful walking around the hole because these mucklucks, they're warm, but they don't have the best traction. The lake water is so nice and clear, it's so nice to drink it. I never purify the water or boil it. I just drink straight out of the lake. Can't do that in a lot of places anymore. Up here, things are still clean enough, you can drink right out of the lake. Happy to have a hole through the ice now and get my water out of this lake instead of having to melt snow every day. Okay, I'm gonna go get my sled and my buckets and get some of this water. First things I'm gonna do with this water is take a bath.
Pretty much everything I've learned to do out here, I've learned on my own. Trial and error. Seems like more error than trial.
If Cody's going to make a life for himself in the bush, he has to master the fundamentals of trapping fur.
Attaboy, a little more G. Trail's over there. There you go, buddy. Cody and I are getting ready to go set a walking trap line up in the hills. Attaboy, good job, right there. Good job, Iceberg. Good boys. We'll picket out the dogs, which means to basically tie them off to a cable between two trees. That way they can just lay down, take a nap, and wait for us while we're out setting the traps. I'm gonna take one dog with us.
Good boy. All right, you know what it's all about, huh?
Iceberg is gonna have a pack on him. He'll be carrying baits, traps, snares, things like that, so that I don't have to pack it.
So yeah, I'm a little bit nervous and apprehensive about today. I mean, still kind of on the fence about it a little bit. See how I feel about it when it happens. I mean, it's not that one shot, quick, clean kill. It's a little bit more harsh on the animal.
Let's go. Come on, buddy boy. I don't know how much Cody's walked around on snowshoes. It's a completely different way of moving through the country.
Snowshoes aren't exactly modern technology.
And it takes some practice to know how to step and where to step and how to negotiate steep inclines.
This one's not set up right, so every time I step, it's not letting my toe slip past the front and walk like I should be. It's starting to piss me off.
Taking off some clothes right now. I'm gonna keep myself from getting too wet.
When you start working, you gotta strip down and start the day cold because you're gonna get hot during the day.
This is difficult all around. I mean, I'm just now learning how to walk in snowshoes, not making for a very enjoyable hike. Please stay on. God damn it. Son of a bitch.
Kind of feel like I'm out in the middle of nowhere, having some extreme issues. And I know Andy's probably farther up that hill.
God damn it. Son of a bitch.
Kind of feel like I'm out in the middle of nowhere, having some extreme issues. And I know Andy's probably farther up that hill.
Come on, boy. Hump it. He's doing pretty good. I don't think he's used to walking on snowshoes, and that takes practice. I think he's having a lot of problems with slipping, falling, and that gets really exhausting.
I'm working on it.
My dog just had a 10-minute nap waiting for you. This is where the fur is. So I want to make a couple Martin sets around here.
I noticed a lot of tracks.
Just pick a tree, go do your thing.
Alrighty. Best case scenario for today is gonna be getting some traps set up in good position with bait, getting back down to the bottom of the hill and warming up. Get this bait set. And right here we got a piece of nice salmon steak. Normally it's dog food, but today it's gonna double as bait for our Martin trap. And you just hang it so Martin comes up, walks down this guy, and as he's trying to get to there, he's focused on this and not so much looking at this. And when he steps across, snap, and got ourselves a little bit of money in the pocket.
He's picking up the trapping part pretty quick. A lot of enthusiasm. He's paying attention. A few things a little awkward, but that's normal for anybody doing something for the first time.
The whole trapping idea in my head at first, I was kind of up in arms about it just because of it's trapping, you know. It's not one shot, one kill. It's not clean. But after hiking and working my butt off to get up that trail and setting traps and setting the bait, if I don't catch something, I'm going to be quite disappointed. Should work. Hopefully get some money out of it.
I wonder sometimes if people really realize how much ever-present noise there is. Jesus Christ, it makes me batty.
Come on, little girl. Better get your business done.
Ermi and I have to get out of camp. I've made a new acquisition. And this is something that cannot fit in an airplane and definitely won't go in my back pocket. So we are on a journey to retrieve it. Come on, Ermi. I can't pick her up that high with my back.
Okay, the generator shed is shut down. Freezer room is shut down.
Turn the stove off.
I turned the eastern stove off. Western stove is on. Dining hall stoves are on low. Locked my back door, left the other one open.
I am excited to be going to Dead Horse, going to town. You know, there are some luxuries there that I don't get, but a lot of trepidation too. This is exactly 1 year since I was in Dead Horse. This place stinks. It's an industrial place. It's got exhaust smell, engine smell, noise, lights. It's daunting. I've got my own little world going on up there. I can give myself the illusion that I am the center of my personal sphere. But when I get into town, I'm just another ant in the ant farm. Okay, that's unusual to me. If I'm not running it, what the hell is that doing moving? You know, there's other people here. But I want that. I want that. That's cool. I want one. Next up, Prudhoe Bay Hotel. I mean, I talk about everything's alien and it's a little creepy, but they have hot showers. I can put up with a hell of a lot of creepy to get some scrubbing going down.
We don't have roads. We don't have speed limits. We don't have stop signs. We don't have flashing red lights or green lights. My driver's license expired in 1991.
With plunging winter temperatures in Norva, Chip has two choices to warm his home. Spend cash on heating oil, or head out in a snow machine and chop down firewood.
I go to the last spring's breakup ice, hit the banks, and knock these trees over. And they've been drying all summer. Nobody else has been here. I don't see a mark on them. They haven't been claimed. So I'm free to get what I want off the riverbank. So that's what I'm doing. I have a lot of chopping to do and not much sunlight, so I'm gonna get to this. I need heat whether I have a chainsaw working or not.
Like Abraham Lincoln said, he who cuts his own wood warms himself twice. So I think I'm gonna be pretty freaking warm here for a while.
This is subsistence heating. This is getting heat from the material around us. Oh, I got an axe story for you. Last summer, I was cutting wood in my yard. My axe handle broke. My double-bitted axe flew up, stuck in my forehead. And this scar right here is where I pulled the axe out of my head. I got a big piece of bone that came out of the cut. It was lodged right here, making a lump. And I bled all over the place. That's my axe story. And I'm sticking to it because it stuck to me. This is another tree. The pine needles are dead on it. It's dry. And it's going home with me. I think that's enough for today. It's almost dark and there's no more dry ones laying around. Whoa. We got some heat here for the next few days. Three trees together, I have 3 days worth of wood. I hauled a lot of wood and I saved a lot of money not buying a lot of stove oil. I need a fire started pretty quick. Inside the house in the wood stove. If you're lazy about heat, it'll be what we call parka time. And that's when people who have run out of heat completely put their parkas on and sit in their house, probably next to a candle. Kindling. Tomorrow, I will borrow someone's chainsaw.
Find a pretty good dinner for tonight, Itty. Care to join us for a good nikbak? Yeah, even muktuk. We're gonna have a feast like tonight. When we sit down and eat native foods, it's nikbak. And when we're eating, it's nikbak to.
Frozen foods, dried foods, and all your berries to sweeten stuff up, and all the fats. Yummy.
Fairly normal dinner here that we've got going. I wanted tongue, so there's tongue. There's a Bible, which is a ruminant's bag, and it's full of the tender that the caribou chewed up. This is one of their stomach chambers. And we boil this up, and we'll chop it up, and we'll add it to rice. These right here are from caribou that we got up here on Kobuk River.
Carolyn, big one, right in front of you. Got it!
This is kahawk, which is a kind of green that we get from the tundra, and we boil and ferment. And this is pretty tasty. And then over here are ukpiks, which they call salmon berries in other places. And it's a pretty good berry, it's full of vitamin C. This here is seal oil blubber from the seal that my wife and my son brought home.
One, two, three, go. Oh.
This is a soft half-dried caribou. And this is pretty good stuff. And I have some completely dried and crumbly. This is pretty freaking hard stuff. It'll shatter if you break it up. And then these are pike from this last summer that we dried up. Food is kind of what it's all about. We basically make a living on the chase for food. This is salmon from when we were down in our salmon camp when we were at Kukuchak. It's all for good health. Everybody has their hand in this stuff, and everybody knows where it came from, so it already just makes it taste a little bit better.
Come on, kiddos, come get a plate.
Baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drizzling seal oil all over it. It's a way of taking all these lean meats and fattening them up. And it's got a flavor I kind of like. And, I don't know, it's just good. It's my dinner. For me, the social setting here is the same at these kind of dinners as it is when I was a kid. Our family got together on weekends, and especially at dinner time. That's when I saw my mom and dad the most. And it's kind of like the same way with us. We all gather again at the end of the day.
Mom, what is this called?
It's greens.
You told them
greens.
I mean, the chase is a good, healthy thing. The food is a good, healthy thing. Knowing the proper preparations makes for a smart person. And you live long, live good, and you don't rely on anybody but yourself.
Can't be Mary Poppins about it, man. It's not always a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Sometimes it's game on. I'm here because I've got some new equipment and made it to my specs, and I need to get ready, go over and see it for the very first time.
Traveling across the Arctic tundra requires specialized equipment. Today, Sue is picking up an all-terrain vehicle she hopes will give her greater mobility in and around Kavik.
I know in my mind what it looks like, but kid in a candy store, it's different when you actually get to see it.
I feel like I'm on the moon. First thing that hits me is the change of color scheme. In Kavik, because I don't get the sun yet, it's still below my horizon. Very much in the way of yellow light. I'm getting a little bit of pinks because the sun can reach my clouds, but not, you know, my landscape. So this orange and yellow, that's brand new. I haven't seen that since October. I don't get the opportunity to buy things for myself. And this represents, it's not just a vehicle, it's not just a tool. This, it is so emotional. It represents getting my personal freedom back, my ability to explore. Okay, there's tire tracks. Oh, wow. I don't want to see it early. Okay, there's tire tracks. Oh, wow. Oh, it's so cute. Check it out, home fries. Maybe I should have counted on the fact that I'm a little fat. This is a really unique rig, specifically for these kind of conditions. It's an all-year-round vehicle.
I'm not used to driving.
I'm mobile. If I want to go see some amazing sight, I don't have to worry. I'm alone and I can't do it on foot because I'll freeze to death. I'm overwhelmed that I'm going to have my mobility back. I'm going to have my freedom. It's a little smaller than I anticipated, but it's pretty cool. It's mine.
I think when you have fewer things, you have a clearer mind. And you definitely have a different relationship with the things you have. You know, they mean more to you.
One thing I really enjoy about living out here is all these jobs, you know? Because you get a very concrete reward out of it. I really enjoy living this way. I like heating my water this way, cutting my firewood, taking a bath outdoors. It just keeps you fit and alive, and I don't know, I just feel really vital out here. Water's good and hot. I'm just adjusting the temperature. want it about as hot as I can tolerate, ideally.
Yeah, that's just right.
And then I like to leave the stove going good and hot so that when I come back in, I can warm right up. I tell you, I remember getting pretty strung out one time with just too much going on, and I didn't take a bath for a long time. I mean, one winter, I really didn't bathe hardly at all. I was too busy. It's like, I realized, like, wow, I haven't been taking a bath or washed my clothes in ages. Oh, what a nice day for a bath. But up to 28 below. As long as the water's hot enough, you can actually take plenty of time. You don't really have to worry too much about getting frostbite. There's no breeze. It's calm. I'll take baths down to 40 below, no problem, maybe even colder. Sometimes you feel the hairs getting a little frozen, but as long as the skin doesn't get frozen, no problem. With a hole through the ice like that, I can take a bath as often as I want to. If I'm melting snow, I don't take a bath very often. Oh, that hot water feels so nice, though. Okay, out of water. Okay, I'm starting to get a little chilly, so I better slip these boots on. I've only been out here a few minutes. Look at that view out there. Isn't that beautiful?
The way of doing this life is you get ahead by needing less.
Today, Andy sent me out here to come check on the traps by myself and kind of a little bit nervous, want to make sure I don't get lost, but you know, with the snow how it is, should be able to follow my tracks pretty easy. Still kind of a little freaky to be out here by myself. That first set's right there. It's gonna be a hard day. I'm still on the fence about all this. I mean, it's taking an animal's life. Can't ever feel good about that, but you gotta make money to live. You ain't got cash in your pocket, you're pretty much broken on the street. It's like first trap came across here, and nothing here right now, but you know, hopefully we'll come back another time and then might be something there, but for now we're just gonna leave it and keep on pushing on. I think my biggest problem is just gonna be maybe coming up on an animal in a trap for the first time. You know, if it's still alive, I'm gonna have to put it down. Got another trap over here. And from the looks of it, nothing's really been through here. I don't see any fresh tracks coming through here. Probably just leave it alone and come back another day. Make sure I mark my trail and blaze some trees. With the snow, it's not too bad, but you know, you want to have a good sight line going up and going back down. If you get caught in a blizzard up here, it'd be pretty damn easy to get turned around. Trap still looks good. Bait looks good. Everything looks fine, just no animal. It's gonna be depressing if none of these have anything in them. A lot of work for nothing. Yeah, there's freaking marten tracks everywhere and haven't caught a single one. I got one more set to check. Hopefully there's something in there. If not, this was a hell of a long day for absolutely nothing. I'll keep on keeping on. I got one more set to check. Hopefully there's something in there. If not, this was a hell of a long day for absolutely nothing. I'll keep on keeping on. First trap on this line is a bust. These traps I set pretty close to each other, so I'd be able to kind of eye one from the other. And I can already look at my next trap down the row and tell there's nothing in it. This is really starting to get depressing. Every time I take a step, I'm sinking down like 2 feet. So throw on the snowshoes. Snowshoes keep you from sweating and working a little bit too hard. Starting to piss me off. I don't feel so bad for those animals anymore. They're elusive little bastards. Losing motivation every time I see a trap empty, but I only got so much light left, so I need to go get the rest of these checked out and get my butt back down the hill while I can still see my trail good and clearly. Otherwise, I could find myself in a predicament I really don't want to end up in.
Son of a bitch.
I'm a little bit more off the fence, I guess, about it now. It's definitely a fair fight. If they're smart enough to avoid this or not go after a nice piece of hanging fish, then they're smart enough to live another day. We got one more coming up. If there's nothing in that, then we got skunked. This should be the last set in my trap. As soon as we come around this brush, find out if I got lucky or I got nothing. This trapping thing has just created mixed feelings this entire time. I mean, I'm staring at this right now, just wishing there was an animal in it. And of course, there's not. And that's a paycheck gone right there. I guess I kind of had it in my mind that we'd come back and there'd be animals in every single one, and I'd have a whole bunch of cash in my pocket. It's gonna be a lot tougher than I thought it was.
Just being connected to the whole flow of nature out here. When you're living in town, you can even lose track of what phase the moon is in. Like, that would be totally unthinkable out here. I'm gonna go down now and I'm gonna cover up my water hole with snow to insulate it. If I don't insulate it, that thing will freeze solid and I'll have to start all over again. There'd be a whole lot of work chiseling it out again, but if I insulate it real well, next time I open it up, there might only be a couple inches of ice. This hole's frozen over now, and I can tell by the cracks in the ice how thick it is. It looks like I've got already about a half an inch of ice, so there's plenty of ice to cover it with snow. It's about 30 below zero out, and that water's about 32 above. So this is gonna keep the heat of that water in there, keep the hole from freezing in too fast. With this snow, I might have 2, 3, 4, 6 inches of ice when I wanna open this up in 3 or 4 days. Without this snow, I could have a foot and a half or 2 feet of ice to chisel through, easy. I spent 7 years getting ready to move out here. 7 years before I ever came out here, I decided this is what I wanted to do, is go live in the wilderness in the Brooks Range. And during that time period, I was preparing, arranging my life so I could do it, studying the information I needed in order to do it. And then, of course, you come out here and you learn more, you know, when you see how things work and don't work. The way I live is a mental comfort to me. It's comforting to be close to nature and to be really connected to all the resources I use. Physically, it's a demanding way to live, but psychologically, I actually find it easier than living in modern society.